Corsican Brothers, from the novel by Alexandre Dumas. Madame de Franchi has been forced to tell her amazing story. Pierre Gaudet threatens to confront her son if she does not tell him the secret of the similarity between the two young men. It seems that Madame, fearing that the de Franchis will be wiped out, gave her twin son Louis into the charge of a nurse from France to Peter. This was at the time when the Gaudici had surrounded the de Franchi castle, hoping that they would trap every member of the family who were gathered together for the festival which followed the birth. When she is about to finish her story, Madame is startled when a voice comes from the doorway. Her son Lucien is standing there. Lucien, from whom she wished to keep the secret. Into the candlelit room he walks, goes straight up to his mother and speaks.
Mother, why has this been hidden from me for so long?
Don't you understand, Lucien? Sooner or later the Gaudici will kill us. They must. There are 29 of them.
But there are 3 of us now.
No, no, not Louis. Please, Lucien, let it be kept a secret.
Keep it a secret? That a son of yours should hide in Paris when you need protection? When your family cries out for vengeance?
Just a moment, Lucien. You must remember that your brother knows nothing about this. He thinks he was an orphan.
My brother. To think that I have a brother. Oh, you might have trusted me, Mother.
I knew I could not trust you, Lucia. Knowing your fiery nature, knowing your untamed will, you would have forced me to bring Louis here to Corsica. Then who knows, he might be wiped out. We might be all wiped out at once. And the de Franchi name would die with us.
I think the decision would rest with Louis in any case.
If he is any kind of a man at all, he will come here. He will fight with me for our mother.
All this talk of fighting? Do you fight from one year's end to another?
It is not like that, monsieur. We hate, yes, all the time. But we fight only when one happens across the other. Once or twice an ambush has been planned, as it so happened the night before last.
And that was only because we heard that the Gaudici were coming through the pass. You see, monsieur, they live in the south.
But to bring Louis here, madame... Oh, that would be impossible. Louis has been brought up in the lap of luxury. He's like his brother, yes, the image of him. But he's no mountaineer. I don't think he's ever used a gun. And as for swords, well, he's never held one in his hand.
I am hungry for news, monsieur. You say he is now called Prévost?
Yes, that's right. He was adopted by a monsieur and madame Prévost, people of great wealth. I understand that madame's personal maid had a child. Oh, just a moment. The name of this personal maid was Tipita. I remember now.
Tipita. Then it all links up. Tipita must have gone into their employ, pretending that Louis was her son.
Tipita. The Prévost had grown fond of the child. They had no children of their own, and so they adopted him, employed a tutor, and he was brought up to be a young man of fashion. When I tell him this amazing story...
You must never tell him.
If you don't tell him, monsieur, I will journey back to Paris with you. I will go to him myself.
Oh, what did I tell you, monsieur? Lucien has learned the truth, and it seems now that another son's life will be endangered.
When my brother knows the truth, he may help us to win out against the Gaudici, Mother. One of these days we shall catch them all together. Just you wait and see.
Lucien, your brother is a young man of refinement. Such talk of vendettas and family hates and brigandage is so much fiction to Louis. He's been brought up in the greatest refinement.
Monsieur... You talk as though he were just a Parisian fop.
A fop? Oh, no. Louis is very humble. That's what I admire about him. In fact, at this present moment, he's very much in love with a beautiful young woman. Most of the families in Paris think that he's the catch of this season, but he himself thinks that he's not worthy of Emilie Latouche.
Emilie Latouche. That is her name. A pretty name, too. Emilie Latouche.
The letter for Mademoiselle Emilie Latouche. That's the one I mean, Gaston. You're sure it was delivered?
Oui, monsieur. The messenger assured me that it would reach its destination by tomorrow morning at the latest.
All right, Gaston, that's all.
There is wine in the library, monsieur. Your uncle bids me tell you that should you care for a game of piquet, there are 4 tables in the blue drawing room.
Tell my uncle I'm going to bed, Gaston. Going to bed to sleep. I'm very tired.
Oui, monsieur. At once, monsieur.
Did I say to sleep? No. To dream. To the dream of Emile Latouche. What will she say when she receives my first letter? Oh, Emile, if only I were with you when you were opening the letter. If only I were the letter itself, so that I could feel the touch of your fair fingers. I love you, darling. One of the scientists has said that thoughts travel like the wind from one place to another. If my thoughts can reach you now, let them save you. I love you, my sweetheart, darling. Above all else in this whole wide world, I'm your servant, your slave, and your worshiper for now and forever. Amen.
Well, madame, it grows late. It's after 2 o'clock.
We have talked and talked, haven't we, monsieur?
I understand. You want to know so much about your other son.
Do not think I am a hard-hearted woman.
Hard-hearted? You made a great sacrifice, madame.
Not really. There was always the comfort that he would not be butchered as my husband was. I did not tell you all my story, monsieur. They took my husband to the highway and hanged him from an overhanging branch so that those passing would see the body.
Oh.
My husband, lord of our castle, swinging like a common thief, dangling on a rope.
You've been through a great deal, madame.
And now you had to come here with your inquiring mind and ferret this secret out. Now that Lucien knows, you know what will happen, monsieur.
I feel guilty now, madame.
My other boy will come back to Corsica. He is not fit for this wild life. They will trample him underfoot, the Gedici. You may not realize it, monsieur, but you have murdered my son. The son who had a chance to live.
Emile, kindly pay attention to your work.
Oh, Aunt Cecily, it is such a beautiful morning outside. I thought perhaps just a walk in the garden.
Not while the officers of the guard parade on the other side of the wall. Pay more attention to your petit cloth. Now, let me see what work you've done today. Good gracious, Emile, hardly a stitch since you've been up here in the country. You seem to do nothing but daydream.
I'm thinking of the wonderful times I had in Paris, Aunt Cecily.
The wonderful times you would have liked to have had. If I were a hard, ruthless chaperon, I would tell your father that those provocative eyes of yours purposely attracted many young men in every salon in Paris.
And why not, Aunt Cecily? I am 18, and at 18, all the young ladies of Paris should have at least one beau.
Such talk I've never heard. At 18, you should be demure and modest and retiring. I don't know what the modern generation is coming to, and the wickedness that goes on behind a girl's fan. The coquettish look, the rolling of the eyes. Really, Amelie, if you do not improve, I shall have to speak to your father. Oh, you may laugh, but I mean it. Now, get on with your work while I go downstairs and give instructions to the housekeeper. Oh, and don't sit near the window, where your eyes may stray to the other side of that wall. Sit here, where I've been sitting.
Yes, Father.
And not directly in the sun. You must not spoil your complexion. Keep your hands covered, too.
Oh, how I hate the country.
Mademoiselle.
Oh, it is you, Yvette.
Mademoiselle, Miss Leder came for you. And Mazarot.
Oh, thank you, Yvette.
I must go back to the kitchen, Mademoiselle.
All right, Yvette. My dear, my very dear Mademoiselle Emile Latouche. Why, it is not so charmed. Oh, Louis Prévost. Louis, a funny cough like Louis. My dear, my very dear Mademoiselle Emile Latouche. For 2 hours I have tried to compose a letter before putting it to paper. Since you went away, I have thought of no one else.
Hold your parasol erect, Emile.
Yes, Aunt Cecily.
And walk like a lady. Chin held high, shoulders erect. the left hand resting gently on your crinoline.
Yes, Aunt Cecily.
I think we will sit here by the fountain and read.
Yes, Aunt Cecily.
Lily, I wish you wouldn't take your lessons as though they were some form of medicine. I'm your mother's sister, and she's entrusted me with your education. Let me tell you now that what you learn from me is what every young lady should know. It will be a model background for future life. A background that will stand you in very good stead.
Talking of my future life, Aunt Cecily, I suppose soon it will be time for me to marry. Papa said so.
It will be discussed, no doubt, in due course.
Do you remember the young man, Monsieur Louis Prévost?
Louis Prévost? Oh, yes. A very handsome young man with an estimable uncle and aunt.
Papa says I must marry well.
We shall all see to that.
I shall see to it too, Aunt Cecily. Nobody can marry me unless they have enough money to buy me everything that the ladies of the court can afford. Has Louis Prévost a great deal of money, Aunt Cecily?
Louis Prévost, my dear child? Why, the Prévosts are one of the wealthiest families in France.
They are?
Of course. Didn't you know?
I had no idea. Why, at every soiree, at every dance, I took no notice of Louis Prévost. Until...
What?
Until the last time. Aunt Cecily, Papa will be coming down from Paris tomorrow. I think Papa and I shall talk about Louis Prévost.
It seems that Louis Prévost's adoration is received in a very different way by Amélie Latouche. Although she is young in years, she seems to look far into the future. How will she be affected if the truth comes out that Louis Prévost is a Corsican? If she only knew it, the life of Amélie Latouche is to be woven into the strange course of events which destiny has planned for the Corsican brothers.